The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
And I yes, I wish I was on the N17, traveling with just my thoughts and dreams.
Ah, the lovely version of the Saw Doctors N17 from the one and only Tolu McKay. Going back to 22... I think it was New Year's Eve 2020, Tolu.
Yes, and right into 2021.
Yeah. It was just to briefly focus on that before we get to your full story. I mean, that was a big moment for you, wasn't it?
That song,
because
it just went
viral afterwards, yes. Didn't it?
The funny enough, I was actually in County Clare, and I remember I was by a windowsill because there was no reception at all, and then I just saw tons of messages flooding in, and I was like, what is going on? And then I saw Graham Norton messaging, I saw some like ministers of this messaging, and I was like, okay,
wow,
what is going on? But yeah, then I was like, okay, I think something is happening. But I don't think I registered like this was going viral until like a week after. Then people started calling for, you know, come on this and do this and do this, and I was like, oh, okay.
So things took off after
that.
Oh
yeah, it definitely did.
Can we start at the beginning, which I suppose is always a good place to start. So you came to Ireland aged five.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you remember that at all, or is it too long ago?
I actually don't remember like how it all happened. There was a flight, came here, saw my mom. There's a new baby girl that we have, my youngest sister.
So your mom and your sister were already here. They had gone ahead.
Yeah,
and then you came with your dad.
And I came with my dad and my brother. And then, yeah, we've just been here ever since.
You were Waterford, Wexford, and then you settled in Tullamore.
In Tullamore, yeah. Tullamore is definitely the first place I called home in Ireland, for sure. Because I think we're kind of like hopping around, moving houses, all these different things that, you know, is challenging when you're young.
Sure.
But yeah, I think music was just the most consistent thing.
Hang on a second. We're just having the sound problems here. We're back. I don't know what happened
back.
There. We're back.
That has never happened in all the time we've ever. We've had lines come in, like phone lines, but that was our own mic.
It's just the amazing connection I have. Yeah. You know,
you're electric.
It's
that's
the
electricity
you're
exactly.
creating. So, I know when you were growing up in Tullamore, you were big into camogie.
Oh, I loved camogie. I think that was the one sport that I was like, okay, I love this, because my mom is like a huge sports person. She actually got. She does handball, and she was representing her state in Kwara in Nigeria, and then she moved to Massachusetts in America. She has a whole lore to her story.
No way. Wow.
Yeah, incredible. She's really cool.
So you got your sporting proficiency because you were
definitely
pretty,
from
a
pretty
my handy camogie player.
I really loved camogie. I think I stopped at like 14, 15, the usual age that a lot of girls stop, you know. But I wish I had continued it because it's a sport that I really love. I love hurling. Yeah.
Okay, but not your first love, because your first love is
my
music.
My first love is music.
And it started in the choir, is that right?
It did. I grew up very Christian in Pentecostal church. So it's like a different deviation from Christianity.
Okay.
But like we had a really small church. And my uncle, who's a great musician, he was like, right, come on up, start singing. And then from there, I think I kind of just had to, it's kind of like a sink or swim situation every single Sunday. So I got the fright of my life every single Sunday.
Really? Yeah.
And every Saturday as well for rehearsals.
And a buzz as well, though?
No, not up until like maybe I was 16 that I was like, okay, I actually like this. But from like 13, 14, 15, I was doing a lot of competitions in like the Midlands. I did the Midlands Got Talent, won that. And then I kept doing more competitions, winning them. And then I was like, oh, maybe I kind of do know
how to
sing.
So you must have known you were good though.
No, it was up until 19 that I was like, okay, maybe I do have a voice. I have confidence issue. I had to work on that, you see.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go to college and you studied psychology.
Psychology,
so you're obviously
philosophy.
You obviously did well in college. And
yeah.
And then you went to work for Google.
I know. There's a lot of story with me. It's like, how many years have I lived on this earth?
I was going to say, are you about 75?
Honestly, I've always been called an old soul since like primary school. I don't know why. Maybe I give that, you know,
a vibe.
Kind of vibe to me. But no, I just love, I love when things that has to do with like human behavior, I love the history and the context of like how humans just interact with one another. And I suppose that was because I was trying to figure out how to relate with other people. Because I've always felt different in everywhere that I've been. Because for me, I suppose that's why music was just such a huge part for me.
In my experience, people who feel a little bit on the outside looking in are often really interested in human behavior because they've been the observers.
Well, oh, yes. And you studied psychology.
Yes. So. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. If you feel a little bit different, you become kind of an observer and then you become very interested in
absolutely.
Those things.
But now that I'm getting older and I've kind of, you know, found a profession through the thing of observing and doing the art through music, it's now become a thing whereby I'm like, no, you actually need to start talking to people and relating to people and just, you know, being in space and in commune with people.
So you're working in Google, good yes. career, making good money and all that kind of stuff, but and you're obviously still singing. Did it just all become too much trying to juggle everything?
It definitely became too much. I remember, so for the 3 years that I was in corporate, I was not sleeping well, but I didn't understand what burnout was. So I think towards the end of Google, and you know, when you're in a space where you feel safe, there's a thing that your body does where it relaxes, but all the stuff that you've been holding on to starts coming out into the forefront. So I wasn't able to kind of, that's why I kind of advocate for mental health a lot now, because I think I started becoming very anxious, but I didn't understand why. But it was because I was so burnt out. I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't eating well. And eventually I was like, okay, something has to give. And I was like, right, I'm going to take a break and let's just do music for a full year, see how that's like. And that was when N17 all happened.
Okay.
It is a beautiful rendition. It's haunting. no disrespect to the Saw Doctors.
Great, love you guys.
Great lads. Love you guys. And actually, I do. And I actually like lots of their songs. But that version of it is like, it's rare when people cover a song that they do better than the original. Yeah. And I just kind of think you did.
But your musical style would be quite different.
I'm
to
definitely
that.
Into, my musical style is definitely embedded in soul for sure. Gospel, that would be like my bedrock. But I'm into soul R&B. That would be like the catalyst of my music, my genre.
Okay, and you don't just sing, you're a songwriter as well. Where do you get your influences from in terms of writing songs?
My life. Yeah. Definitely my life. Definitely like emotions that I've been trying to figure out. Like I said, growing up, I didn't really have the space or the feeling or the confidence to really talk to people or get to know people. So I was constantly in my head, and to kind of express that, it was through writing poems, prose, and then songwriting became a thing and started singing about it. So yeah, that was how I got into songwriting and started writing my own songs and hopefully writing for people in the future.
And of course, you're not just a singer or a songwriter, you're also a bit of a dancer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. And you're rocking it and Dancing with the Stars.
I'm shocked as anyone else.
You brought the house down on it with a few of your performances.
Yeah. I mean, last week, I think, was probably my highest score, 49 out of 50. And that was epic. The dance that we were doing was, what dance was I even doing? I always forget everything, week by week.
I don't know the cha-cha from the rumba, so I'm the wrong person
you did,
to ask.
Your rumba brought the house down, definitely.
The rumba was amazing. Yeah. That was a lot of hard work. But yeah, and then there was another one that I loved, which was the contemporary ballroom, which was epic. It was for Fright Night, and I got to be this character that was kind of like evil. The idea behind it was that my husband gave me peanuts that I was allergic to, and then I died, and then I rose up from the dead, and then I'm trying to get him back.
Okay.
I have a whole story that I do in my
I've
head.
Often wondered about Dancing with the Stars, like, because it would be my worst nightmare to dance in public, but do you get really fit doing it? Like, are you?
Oh my
are you,
God.
I imagine you just must
literally,
be really fit by the end.
I've taken up swimming now because I feel so alive in my body. I did not know. No, like you genuinely feel so engaged with your body in
How
a way that you didn't know.
How long do you have to train for every day? Do you dance every day?
We dance every day. 3 to 4 hours, depending. But sometimes we have Mondays off, depending on like what it is that you're doing and who like your dance partner is and
it's
what they
lot.
Think you need.
It takes over your life.
It definitely takes over your life. But in like the best way imaginable, like I really enjoy it. The best way that I've been explaining it to my friends is that I feel like this is like a boot camp for if you wanted to like get a dance boot camp. But if you wanted like an artist, if you wanted like an artist development, this is the closest you'd get to without the singing.
Do you freak out when the votes and all are coming in? Is it very nerve wracking?
Oh my God! There's like this beat. It's like doom doom.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I panic. I panic every week. Not, you think you get used to it.
To panic about. Tell us about your EP. It came out last September. People Still Cry in Summer.
So People Still Cry in Summer is an EP that I wrote. It's a six-piece track. It's from soul music to R&B and a little bit of rapping. That EP is just basically, I wanted to show that, you know, even in the best times, such as during my era of, you know, N17 and all that, there was a lot of things that I was going through that I couldn't speak up about publicly. And because I am an advocate for mental health awareness, it's important for me as an artist, first and foremost, to feel confidence or share confidence that, you know, it's okay to talk about these things. So a few of those songs kind of talk about the loneliness.
Brilliant. Well done. Now, I know you still harbor a dream of becoming a neuroscientist or down the line, but what does the future hold? I imagine you're thinking music.
I am a dreamer. No, Dancing with the Stars has made me dream that everything is possible. So I have a list. I want to be an actor. I want to be on Broadway. I want to continue doing my albums. I want to do so many albums with like different folk singers as well.
Kira Kelly? Because the two of you sound very similar.
The weird thing was that she was saying that I was going, she's me. Because I'm like that. I start doing things and then I go, I could do this. I could do that.
Absolutely.
And I want to do all of them.
There's literally nothing that Kira cannot do.
I love that.
Actually completely untrue. But there's nothing Kira thinks she cannot do. But
that
part,
I was not going to say that. Well, listen, best of luck. It was absolutely best of luck with everything in the future. Best of luck with the last three rounds of Dancing.
Two more after this week.
This is not the last we're going to see of you, young lady.
Definitely not.
Thanks so much for coming into us, Tolu McKay. The latest EP is available, obviously, on all good streaming services.
Exactly. And you can buy it on my website as well. And I have a signature that I can send the CD out to you.
You have some absolutely gorgeous merchandise on your website as well. I was checking it out. Very cool.
Shane loves a bit of merch.
I do like a bit of merch.
TolumcKayOfficial.com.
Okay. Thanks, Tolu. Thanks, Amin.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.